shakeup in Silicon Valley as Yahoo gets new leadership again.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Yahoo has its fifth CEO in 5 years. The company has selected a woman named Marissa Mayer, who has spent the last 13 years as an executive at Google. In fact, she was Google's 20th employee, and now she's said to be the 20th female CEO in the Fortune 500. She's seen as one of the tech industry's top talents, according to Lindsay Turrentine, who is the editor-in-chief of CNET Reviews.
Yahoo is very serious about sticking it out. This is sort of Yahoo saying, no, we mean it. We're here. We're going to fix our problems. She does really understand how to get to the meat of a problem and then work incrementally to solve it. And that should be really promising for anybody who's upset about Yahoo's performance.
Turrentine says she expects Yahoo to continue to make its money on advertising and will get a sense of how much money the company has been making when Yahoo reports earnings later today. Intel will also be telling us about its quarterly performance today, very different business from Yahoo's. But as our New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore reports, all the tech companies are keeping their eye on potential danger far from Silicon Valley.
What do, say, the Greek election and the bailout of Spain have to do with the profits of companies around Silicon Valley? It's more related than you may think, says Andy Bartels. He's an analyst with Forrester Research.
Well, Europe is essentially in a recession right now. That shrinkage in the economy then impacts their spending on technology.
As technology earnings kick off this week, we can expect to hear more about the European crisis hurting American tech companies' profits down the line. Here's Ambrish Srivastava, an analyst with BMO Capital Markets.
People start tightening their budgets, so we know for sure that demand is weakening in Europe, but we're all interconnected at the end of the day, so that is having some impact in the U.S. as well.
The dollar is also stronger compared to the euro, which makes it more expensive for Europe to buy our technology. And Europe isn't the only soft spot. Srivastava just came back from Asia, where tech insiders expect a slowdown in sales there, too. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in global trading this morning, up 0.5% in Singapore, 0.5% higher in Paris and Frankfurt as well. In addition to those tech companies you just heard about, we'll also get earnings reports today from Goldman Sachs, Mattel, and Johnson & Johnson. Also, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke will be on Capitol Hill today testifying before the Senate Banking Committee. That'll give us another chance to watch for clues about whether he's got plans for more monetary stimulus to boost the economy. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 49 points to close at 12,727.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
It's considered the largest African-American bookstore in the country, and it's closing its doors at the end of this month. The Hugh Mann Bookstore in Harlem has been around for 10 years, but rising rents and a changing industry have made it impossible for the bookstore to stick around. Marva Allen is co-owner, and she's with me now here in our New York studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, why are you closing?
Well, you know, confluences of things, really. We're in an industry, this being my third entrepreneurial venture. One thing that is different here is the fact that we're in a tumultuous industry such as publishing. We haven't figured out yet where that's going, and that's even harder on a niche market bookstore in an underserved community.
So there's a difference between the problems that face any bookstore right now in the era of e-books and all of that and the problems that face your bookstore.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, as I said, this is my third entrepreneurship venture. And my first venture was in technology. So, you know, the technicalities of that was that we were in a rising market and you're going to do well unless you're just really not innovative. In this market, however, it's a very, very mature business that's in decline. And so there are lots of reasons, in addition to the economy, you know, that small businesses have to face. If they don't have access to capital, there is no business.
Is it more difficult for a minority-owned business to get access to capital?
Oh, absolutely. it is one of the most important things why minority businesses don't grow to the size that they could. And in fact, the largest minority business is not even as large as the smallest Fortune 500 company. So there's an inequity there in terms of access to capital.
Well, so what's next? How do you make this work? And I know that you're going to try to do some online business.
Absolutely. Well, you know, as I said, I'm an entrepreneur at heart, so you know I'm going to try to figure something out. And I think the bookstore of the future is a real interest to me. What does the future bookstore look like, and how can we integrate technology into that and create something completely dynamic and new?
When your business goes out of business, do you think to yourself, well, that didn't work, but I'm going to keep going, I'll try something new, or does it just get really discouraging?
Well, no, I don't think, I think going out of business because the pressures to go out of business are a business decision doesn't feel the same as if you go out of business because you can't run the business. You know, when I looked at all the confluences of events and looked at my pro list and my con list, that was a business decision because our sales are actually up 37%, but our business model is not sustainable.
Marva Allen is the co-owner of Hewman Bookstore, which will close at the end of this month after 10 years in business. Thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
And finally, President Obama was booed at an event in Cincinnati yesterday, not because of the economy or healthcare or anything like that. According to the Washington Post, he was booed after saying that his favorite Girl Scout cookie is the Thin Mint. Well, actually, he just called them those mint cookies. Turns out that's not a very popular position. According to the Girl Scouts of America, Thin Mints account for just 25% of all sales. 19% go for the Samoas, 13% for the peanut butter patties, and 11% for the Do-Si-Dos. Well, we've got a poll up at Marketplace's Facebook page, the APM Marketplace Facebook page, where you can tell us which Girl Scout cookies you like best. I'm actually a Thin Mint guy, too. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.